You're listening to Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival with me, Andrew Haunt. That's me with a stupid name in the title. It is my name, I promise. I used to write for Powerplay Rock and Metal magazine here in the UK, interviewing rock stars, reviewing albums and gigs, and I miss doing it. So this show is all about me carrying on talking about music I love and have loved through the ages. So I cover obscure and classic albums in rock and metal on this show. On this episode, I'm going to talk about an album which is particularly special to me. I know it's not one that will garner much in the way of new listeners or a lot of attention, but this is a particularly special album for me, so we are going pretty obscure today. I'm going to talk about the album Hit List by the Heartthrob Mob. Now, Heartthrob Mob were a full-on bubblegum glam punk band playing around Hollywood in the early 90s, and this album came out in 1993. It was self-financed on their own label, and the production, it really shows that it was self-financed, let's just say that. So I discovered the Heartthrob Mob through I think it was an imports review in Kerrang. At the time, bear in mind, Kerrang were all about grunge, all about alternative rock, all about the harder, heavier end of the spectrum. Anyone in makeup was a no-no at the time, and nothing like that would really get any coverage anywhere. And I saw a review of this album, I think it was probably Dave Reynolds, one of my music journalism heroes, that covered the album and gave it a good review. And I thought, that sounds cool, I need that in my life. They look like a crazy amalgam of a more femme Twisted Sister and Motley Crue rolled together with, I don't know, Pretty Boy Floyd and Tiger Tales and all that stuff. And I just needed it in my life. So I wrote to them. Of course, this was the age of pen and ink and letters. So I sent a query off saying, do you have albums available? I got a really nice letter back from the singer, Lonnie. Lonnie Lovett. Their names are so cool. And struck up a friendship with him pretty quickly. It was like a pen pal friendship. This guy became essentially a pen pal because I was sending these guys fan letters so much. Eventually, I got the album, Hit List, bought it on CD from them. Actually, I ordered a tape, which was because it was cheaper. It was $7 for the tape. And bear in mind, I was like 14, 15 at the time. And I thought, I need to save a bit of money, so I'll order the tape. It'll be smaller, less postage. And Lonnie sent me the CD with a letter saying, hey dude, sorry, we've run out of cassettes, so here's a CD copy for you instead, and didn't charge me any extra money. And I thought that was really kind of him. And that album, oh my god, I played it so much, and I played it for decades. Literally, I did play that album for 25, almost 30 years. No, it was 25 years I played that album. And it has something really unique about it. As well as the album, Lonnie would send flyers from their shows around Hollywood, showing the band in all of their full-on glam punk finery. He would also send me some stills, like a proper glossy 8x10 of the band. And I idolized this band. I absolutely idolized them because they were making something that spoke to me in a time where a lot of popular rock music really didn't. Granted, I did come back round to the idea of modern rock music eventually, but at the time I was just not connecting very well with the whole grunge era and the alternative rock era, and I wanted something louder, sillier, and a lot more fun. And I found it in Heartthrob Mob. I did find it in other bands as well, which I will also cover on the show at some point, but this album, Hit List by Heartthrob Mob, is brilliant in every way. As I said before, the production sucks. The production is lousy, but the 12 songs make up for that in absolutely bags of attitude and bags of songwriting talent. There is some serious talent at play here. So the album opens with a song called Psycho, which really took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting the band to sound quite so manic. It's quite a manic song. It's quite heavy on the punk influence, but the lyrics, the vocals, the hook of it, it's absolute bubblegum pop. It's just brilliant. It's so fun. It's like, you know, you would hear things like Poison and Motley Crue at the time and the lesser known bands, and they didn't match this level of crazy. They never matched this sort of level of bubblegum pop joy. It's a joyous sound, as raucous and as rude and as attitude packed as it is. It is an immensely fun sound, and you can almost feel yourself getting diabetes listening to it. It's that saccharine, but I loved it at the time and I continue to love it to this day. I don't have this album anymore, unfortunately, though. In a particularly bad period of having no cash, I did decide to sell it on eBay, and I was surprised that it did gather a lot of cash, but oh God, I regret selling it. I do still have the tunes that I did rip the CD. So the vocalist, Lonnie, as mentioned, he was Lonnie Lovett on lead vocals. The lead guitar player was Bobby Vanden. There's no way these are the real names, of course. I know that. I was aware of that at the time, but I thought that the kitsch element just made me so happy and so excited about the whole thing that they were more like larger-than-life characters. And I just love that, especially the bass player's name, Dev Estate. Joyous. What a fantastic thing. Drums were handled by Tracy Michaels, who was just a monster on drums. Unfortunately, Tracy has since passed away after being in bands like the Peppermint Creeps, after Heartthrob Mob. And that was a big loss. However, one pleasant thing that did come out of Tracy's sad loss was a Heartthrob Mob reunion show, a lot of which is shown up on YouTube in various degrees of quality, and it was just so cool to see them playing these songs on stage. Of course, I never got a chance to see this band live, what with me being in Sheffield in the early 90s and then being in Hollywood. Looking back, I find it very strange that this weird comic book sci-fi kid with a penchant for insane 80s and 90s glam and metal struck up this little pen pal relationship with this dude, Lonnie, in Hollywood, who kept sending me cool stuff. It really made a difference to my days. I was living in a really weird area. School sucked. Life was weird and hard. You know, teenage years stuff. And it gave me the escapism that I really sought. I really needed the escapism this album provided, and I really genuinely appreciated it. And I kept it in my collection for a very, very long time after getting it, as well as the flyers and the letters. Again, I did sell those off eventually, as well as this band became quite notorious, quite a collector's sort of band, a very obscure full-on glam punk band that found their height at the height of grunge and everything that was against them. I just love it. So after the first track, Psycho, that is followed by Attitude and Rumour and Chance. And those songs are just perfect. They are huge, perfect, summery pop songs. They're almost like something you would hear as cartoon themes. That's kind of sort of what Heartthrob Mob were like. They were like full-on bubblegum blowing pink and black cartoons. They were brilliant. And I loved it that they pushed the attitude, they pushed the image, and they pushed the style of music further than I've heard any other band do it. And while the production was seriously lacking, and I mean really lacking, that gave it a rawness and an edge that it would have otherwise lacked if it had had a better production. I liked it. I like the lo-fi feel of it. That fourth track, Chance, has one of the greatest hooks ever. I do recommend you find that track on YouTube, Chance by Heartthrob Mob. It also has a wonderful guitar solo that walks all over people like CC DeVille and people of his ilk at the time. This is a serious bunch of musicians. They are excellent musicians, and it sounds like they had an absolute blast making this album. So Chance is followed by You, another rocky song. And then that is followed by Senior Prom, which is like the ultimate ballad. And that kind of longing, sort of late 80s teenage romantic movie feeling. It's hard to explain, but this would be the perfect soundtrack to anything like that. You know, anything that had Leah Thompson in it. You know what I mean? That's followed by, in contrast, You Bitch. The title sums it up very well. And again, the attitude of the song, it's played with a huge, great smeared snare. A middle finger to everything. That's followed by Freaked Out, which is great. That's kind of punky, a bit of a Ramones vibe going on there, which is followed by Johnny's Got a Girlfriend, which has got such an irresistible hook. It's like the, it's like the Beach Boys. It's like the Beach Boys in a brothel. I think that sums it up well. The Beach Boys in a brothel. So yeah, Johnny's Got a Girlfriend, there's Groupie Girl, which speaks for itself, and has a bit more of a an early Motley Crue vibe, but sped up, more manic, more makeup, more bubblegum, just more of everything. The somewhat, not melancholic, but the somewhat, nostalgic track Good Times follows as track 11, and the album ends with Angel, which isn't a ballad. That's another Ramones-tinged, Cheap Trick-tinged, joyous anthem with, you know, stiletto boots planted firmly on stage, BC Rich guitars, I can imagine them with BC Rich guitars anyway, makeup everywhere, hair 20 feet tall, and just loving every second of it. That brings the album to a close. But yeah, it's just a joyous, wondrous thing. The album does have a lousy production, which has been talked about all over the internet when you find mention of the Heartthrob Mob Hit List album. It was followed by an album called Eat Your Heart Out, which I never actually got. By the time that came out, I think I'd discovered other things. I'd moved on to more movies and heavier stuff. I think I'd found thrash, death metal, black metal and goth and things like that by then. I went through a lot of phases, but I do love this album dearly. The cover image shows a square with the band in black and white posing in full-on bubblegum glam gear with their faces around them in heart shapes as well. And that is surrounded by floating pink hearts everywhere. It's so sugary and wonderful, and it is impossible to be unhappy when you hear this album. That's how I've always felt about it. My opinion of it is probably coloured by my experience with the album, but you know, I'm going to stick by that. As dodgy as the production is, as dodgy as the mix is, as raucous and unhinged as some of the songs are, it's a very special album to me. And to me, this is as important to me as some people find like Hendrix albums or Cream, things like that. I love this thing. There were other bands around at the time in the scene, things like Big Bang Babies, Alley Cat Scratch, The Zeros and people like that. But it was the Heartthrob Mob that really connected with me first and got me into the underground glam scene. That did develop further with bands like Hollywood Tees, Penny Lane, and so on. And I will cover those in later episodes. And it scratched an itch that wasn't being provided for at the time. I kind of enjoyed the fact I needed to find the stuff that really spoke to me. I enjoyed the search, and that's probably why I've always enjoyed, you know, retro hunting, vintage hunting, and looking in charity shops and on eBay and things, and resellers and all kinds of stuff for the things that really speaks to me. Because it kind of feels like these things are meant for a place in my own personal life, in my own personal pantheon. And, you know, I say pantheon in every episode, don't I? Sorry about that. But this Heartthrob Mob Hit List is a remarkable, remarkable thing, a real strange time capsule to me, and a great, dear, precious memory of some wonderful music. I do genuinely appreciate all the letters Lonnie sent. I appreciate all the flyers. I appreciated the, you know, the stills and all kinds of stuff. So these are the flyers that were stuck in dingy rock clubs up and down the strip back in the day, and I cherish those because I was sat in grey, dull Sheffield where nothing of any great importance or interest happened apart from things like the Don Valley Stadium gig for Def Leppard. But, you know, it's a pretty dour place during the 90s. I know it's been rebuilt and remodeled since then, but it's still pretty dour. That's just my personal opinion. But anyway, nothing against Sheffield, really, but my experience of it wasn't ideal. So this stayed with me throughout my adult life until a couple of years ago, where I did end up selling it. And I'm gutted that I did that. I wish I'd held on to it longer, just because it is such a precious relic. And I don't mean that in the sense of it of being like a hoarder where I just wanted to keep everything, but it's one of those things that has genuinely been there for me a lot, and it had been there for me for a very long time. I'm glad I ripped the CD before I sold it, because I wanted to keep hold of those songs even though I didn't have the actual item itself. And I miss the item. I'm all about physical media. I love holding CDs and tapes and things like that. And I'm also increasingly interested in media that, you know, analog media that I can just put on without someone being aware of what I'm looking at or what I've been watching or suggesting things to me. I really don't like targeted advertising at all. It bugs me. So I miss just being able to stick this album on and lose myself in 41 minutes and 11 seconds of ridiculous bubblegum glam rock music. Hitlist by the Heartthrob Mob. Seriously wonderful album. You can find the whole thing on YouTube for free. You can find it on eBay and Amazon. You will have to pay a pretty penny for a good copy of it, though. But it is a special thing. And I'd love it if you heard some of those songs, especially things like Psycho and Chances and stuff like that, because they are just great songs. Check out the history of the Heartthrob Mob. Look up this excellent band and what they did. It was just a strange time where things were crossing over, things are disappearing. And the fact that these things were disappearing made it a lot more appealing to me to track these things down. So that's my little look at Hitlist by the Heartthrob Mob. I will be covering more obscure albums like this on future episodes of Andrew Hart's Rock Revival. And I will, of course, be covering other bigger albums by other artists as well. So thank you for checking out this episode. Please do subscribe to it. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Audible, Amazon Podcasts. You can find it all over the place, as well as Podmatic and my YouTube channel. Hoping to get it on iTunes soon. So if you're listening on iTunes in the future, hello. It's good to have you here. Thank you very much. You can also find me on YouTube with shows like Planet Hex and my soon-to-be-revived VHS Ate My Brain. Thank you again for joining me for this episode of Andrew Hort's Rock Revival. I look forward to bringing you another one very, very soon. Check you soon. Bye-bye.